Hey, Jack, you go ahead and switch on onto high taps on 104.
Houston, my call pressure is 2-2.
Shut it down, Jack. Say again, my call pressure.
Roger, it's 2-2, decimal zero.
Okay.
Well, you can cut off the decimal. Okay, it's on deck. Oh, wait a minute, I gotta go get it. Which one you on? A, okay. Jack, I'm someplace else. Okay, try it again. I got the help me. Jack, you're cutting out on everything at all. I'm getting the end of your transmission there. Okay, good counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. Jack, you read me? Okay, you were loud and clear after your first two words in every case, just like you were cutting out on Fox.
Clear with the background noise.
We don't have a good anchored up, we can see. I had signal strength, and now I don't have any at all. Okay, I should send Challenger gave you a call, but he does not have any uplink signal strength at all.
Okay, and we'd like to hold this configuration right there until we get the signal strength down. We understand
right
the problem is.
Okay, understand what configuration there. He just got about 2.2 on the signal strength.
Okay, Gino.
Tell him I heard their transmission to you. No, a few minutes ago. I was at zero signal strength and I heard their transmission from one of them. The first time they commented here that I was going to do it.
Hello, Challenger, this is Houston. Do you hear me?
Okay, Houston, I read you. You're weak but clear. Signal strength is fluctuating. When you called me, it fluctuated down to about 1.6, over, and it's 2 now.
Okay, yeah, you're loud and clear. The background noise I've been mentioning, although yet you haven't heard me mention it until now. Challenger, I'm transmitting time mode now. I'm looking at that frequency, and it sounds to us like for some reason when I transmit, the uplink signal starts to break up. It's just the way you see it.
Okay, Corey, you're breaking up there. Still modulating, but I cannot read you. Would you tell America what you said?
Yeah, Corey, we read you in America loud and clear on that time.
Okay, Gino.
What else do you have to do? Get some of these bags stowed.
Jack, ask him to verify he's on aft on me.
Challenger, this is Houston, going up to you through Bermuda, and you should come down through Goldstone, otherwise down now. Hello, Challenger, Houston, how do you read? Okay, we're gonna go back to Goldstone both up and down. And we'd like Jack to do this step 46 on the checklist. In other words, throw the voice, S-back, voice to voice, the biometric light. And we're gonna give it a try in the normal configuration. Nope. Challenger, read you weak but clear, honey, read.
Okay, Houston, you just came in loud and clear, honey, read.
Okay, at that time you're loud and clear, Jack. That sounds real good.
Okay, Gordy, let me say once again, way back when we first started, and Gene was talking to you, I heard one of your answers, weak but clear, with zero signal strength showing here. Now, that might have been through Ron's box. I don't know. Since then, you've been able to modulate the signal strength with occasional weak words. And then that signal strength was up around 3.2, where it is now. Then you came in loud and clear with a broadcast. I answered you. You said about three words and dropped off completely. And then we changed configuration.
Okay, Jack, that correlates with what we've seen here in the way of signal strengths dropping in and out. Stand by and I'll see where we want to go from here.
Challenger Houston, we'd like you to do step 7. We'll check out the telemetry hydro rate.
Okay, step 7.
And Challenger Houston making a voice check. How do you copy?
Roger, you're loud and clear. I'll be.
You're loud and clear. Challenger Houston, we're looking at the high bit rate for a minute here while we're waiting. Would you check the cross tie circuit breakers, panel 16, verify they're open?
That's verified. Cross tie bus and bow load's open.
Gotcha. Challenger Houston, I would like you to accomplish step number 8.
Roger, step 8. Challenger, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, over.
Challenger, you're loud and clear, how many?
Loud and clear.
Challenger Houston, go ahead and step 9, report to any bad voltages.
We'll go. Stand by. may be bad. A and B, you're 37.2.
Roger. Okay, go ahead with SIM 10, and then we'll go back and try to find out what's wrong with that voice backup. Go ahead and check the sequence camera if you haven't already, Jack. And then we'll have some steps for you to check out what was wrong with down voice backup.
All righty, stand by.
Challenger Houston, we'd like the ranging switch to off reset and the voice switch to down voice backup, and give us a call, will we?
Okay, off reset on range and down voice backup on voice.
Affirmative. Okay, Challenger, we read your transmission, but you're just about lost in the noise. Give us another count, please.
Okay, this is the Challenger. You were loud and clear. No difference from the transmission to voice. Been counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How do you read? Over.
Okay, Jack, it got a lot better. You're perfectly readable now, sounding good.
That sounds good.
Okay, Jack, would you go to high bit rate?
Roger, Challenger's high bit rate. How do you read high bit rate?
Okay, still the same, loud and clear. Okay, we'd like Biomed off now, Jack.
Roger, going Biomed off. Okay, Houston, how do you read the limb? Down boys back up, Biomed off. BCM high, over.
Okay, Jack, you're loud and clear.
Okay, Gordy, and that was hot mic, so that's worker's line up here. And you're loud and clear also.
Okay, Jack, let's try PCM low now.
Okay, talking to you, down boys, back up. Biomed off and PCM low, how do you read, over?
Okay, same low, loud and clear.
Okay, Gordy, it certainly is clear up here. You're coming through 5-5, signal strength 3.2, and all appearances up here, that previous problem was an uplink. But I guess you were not reading me, is that correct?
Well, it was, the answer is yes and no at various times. We think, though, we have a good handle on the problem.
Okay, very good.
Check one more switch first before moving on. Check the update link switch to off.
Yeah, that's verified off.
Roger. I want you to stand by a minute or two, Jack, until we verify funny looking parameter here on that uplink switch.
Standing by. What's that? No, they got something looking funny on the uplink.
Challenger Houston, that was a bad call. We were reading the data wrong. You're clear to press on with the checklist now on page 1-20.
Okay, well, press on. You know, here's your genesis bag. You can get back to run.
Roger, Juno.
We just transferred to CSM power and the caution warning light did go off.
Roger.
wife had an Anthony Albert, huh?
Roger, Ron, we got a couple questions for you about those, about the latch. Good old latch number 4 gave us a problem, I guess, huh? America, Houston. Ron, can you take a look at the latch number 4, and is the hook back away from the ring approximately 1 inch as opposed to resting against the ring? Houston, just copy my question.
Back at round 1.
Okay, heard somebody going there at round 1 that time, Ben.
Roger, Ron. Got a couple questions on those, that latch number 4, if you can answer it for me. America Houston, we're back with you after some site change. Over to you, Reed.
Okay, I'll be about.
Real good, Ron. On that number 4, last number 4, is the hook backed away from the ring about 1 inch as opposed to resting against the ring? Do you have about an inch clearance on that hook right now?
Where that one was seated, but the handle was locked.
Yeah, that's right.
depression in the bungee. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. Bungee is depressed about 3/8 to half an inch, you know.
Roger. Okay, Ron, our plan here is to leave it like it is, and we're going to think about it tonight, and we'd like to just keep pressing on. Just leave it alone, okay?
Okay, sounds good. I'll clear the docking ring. No problem. Houston, America, while Ron's putting in the probe and getting the hatch back in, I'm going to go ahead and maneuver on that zone.
That's real fine.
This is Apollo Control at 42 hours, 27 minutes ground elapsed time. We're estimating a change of shift press conference in 15 minutes. 15 minutes at 6:15 Central Time in the small briefing room. Spacecraft communicator now is Bob Obermeier. During this past checkout of the lunar module, we've had considerable difficulty in some of the communications configurations, or the way the down and links and up links were set up. And some bit of difficulty in sorting out just what the nature of the problem in one of the docking latches is. People will be examining this through the night and during the checkout of the limb tomorrow, or additional work in the limb, perhaps the thing can be sorted out. Apollo 17 presently at 143,562 nautical miles out from Earth, traveling at a velocity of 3,590 feet per second at 4228 and standing by. This is Apollo Control.
Gain on this.
Stand by now.
locked up with a high gain. We just like to leave it on high gain. The angles you see in the flight plan are in case it breaks lock. That's what you need for with this attitude.
Okay, Houston, the probe is installed. We'll get the hatch open.
Roger, man.
I'm not going to connect the umbilicals unless you really want to look at the probe temperature.
Stand by that.
42 hours, 41 minutes. Apollo 17 now 144,002 nautical miles from Earth. Velocity 3,577 feet per second. Change of shift briefing is ready to start in the New Center briefing room. We'll take down this air ground line and tape any communications during the course of the briefing and replay them at the conclusion of the news conference. This is Mission Control Houston at 42 hours, 41 minutes. This is Apollo Control at 43 hours, 16 minutes. Apollo 17 is 145,178 nautical miles from Earth, traveling at a speed of 3,543 feet per second. The crew is now in the midst of the heat flow and convection demonstration. This is the demonstration that's designed to provide more exact data on the behavior of fluids in a low gravity field. This type of investigation is really not possible on Earth, where gravity determines flow of fluids. In space, the flow force is surface tension. There are three test cells involved in this demonstration for measuring and observing the fluid flow behavior, and the results are recorded with the 16-millimeter camera aboard. We have about 5 minutes worth of tape that accumulated during the news conference, and we'll play that for you now and then pick up live.
Testing Houston, we're recommending quads Bravo and Delta for spin-up.
Okay, Bravo and Delta, thank you. Okay, Houston, at 4256, 52.04, I started the stopwatch, and also the watch was at 1830. Started on the select radio and linear part of it. The little pie-shaped things are changing color as we go out. The linear part of it, all of the chips seem to have been concentrated on the front edge of the glass. They're all pretty much in a linear direction or an XX direction. At this point in time, I haven't seen any movement yet.
Ron, are the contrails the same way they were on the backup unit the other evening in the playroom?
Yeah, all those chips seem to be, well, and then actually I got the lineal direction, the lineal part of the experiment in the XX direction. And all the chips are lined up in that XX direction on the front or the top of the glass.
Roger. Just where you were in that backup unit the other day in the weight room.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Houston, we started to cool down in light climb position there. The radio cells, they all started to change color except the one from about 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock.
Roger. Except from 10 to 12, we got it. Does the lineal ball stay right in the line there, Ron?
Yeah, the crystals or the chips are inside there. It didn't move at all. On the color patterns behind there, the one on the left, as you look at the unit, the color crystals only change down about 9/10 of the first square as you come down from the top. The rest of them are all black on that particular, on the left row.
Roger, Ron. We're copying everything you're saying. We've got all kinds of support here. We've got one backup unit out here watching what you're doing, so we'll keep you posted what we think.
Oh, okay. Is the backup CMP operating it?
That is back at the farm.
That's the way it is. Thanks.
And, Ron, we'd like you to stay nominal on the heating time due to the film limitations.
Okay, we'll do. Of the floor,
3/8 of an inch annulus all the way around it, except for the right 2/3 of the floor.
Roger, on. You can use more than 4 turns if you need it.
Okay, let's go ahead and try to cover up the whole floor out of that before we do it. The bubbles are in there. I'm afraid they're going to stay unless they disappear when we heat it.
Roger.
And now it's coming out with no bubbles now. It looks like it's almost formed in the distance on top of itself, on top of where the bubbles were.
Roger, on. Is it continuing to spread out?
It's continuing to spread out now. And without pumping anything into it at all, I did that last turn fairly fast. Spreading of its own accord down. It should go on over and cover up the bottom, I think. Once it completely covers up the bottom, I think we should go ahead and start the heat high on this back. Okay, now everything's all up together now. We've completely filled up the bottom of the floor. Hey, for some reason, the bubbles seem to be starting to break now. Okay, I don't know if it's a coincidence or what, but all of the bubbles are formed together, essentially at the center. Along the plus x-axis direction, and about 1 inch wide, and then they start about 3/4, 3/8 of an inch in from the circumference.
Roger.
Okay, I was going to try to break the bubbles with a pencil, but if you try to push a pencil into the bubble, it just moves aside. So that being the case, I'm going to go ahead and start the timer.
We concur on that, Brian.
That's called the old push a bubble with a pencil trick.
Roger. Just need a sharper pencil, Jack.
Air ground is live now.
Or a thinner bubble.
How about Friday evening, Jack?
Well, I've lost track. Oh, yeah. Still, well, I Mark, that was 1 minute after the start.
Roger.
I'll give you another mark when I go to high on the with the select switch. Market.
Butter.
which bubble looks like it's locus of, it looks like starting one of the Verdun cells, Verdun cells.
Say that again, Ron.
Okay, each one of those bubbles looks like it's the locus or the start of one of the Bernard cells.
Roger.
So far, the bubbles aren't breaking.
We copy that.
Did Stu get bubbles on his pattern, Bob?
We're not running it down here. We're just demonstrating on the demonstrator there, but Stu can tell you.
Ross, Jack. Yeah, I. You're talking to the one that we did, right?
That's right. Well, I am now. I thought you were running it down there also.
No. Okay. The one that we did in flight. I had a lot of bubbles, but I couldn't get mine Crytox out across the center. So y'all are already well ahead of what I did.
I'm sorry you had to admit that, Stu.
Oh, y'all just do such good work.
The other thing is, there seems to be like in 1G, the Bernard cells started completely back to the edge, you know, right back to the edge of the circle. And in this case, at least they haven't filled in yet, back to the edge of the circle at all. They all started out in the center. And are working around the bubbles, and then it's just now starting to form a few of them where there aren't any bubbles.
All right, Ron. How large are the cells, Ron?
Yeah, they're varying considerably in size. I can see one that's about a half an inch across. And then the other ones, they've got a great big bubble in it, and yet the cell itself is down to maybe an eighth of an inch. The bigger ones seem to be on the outside, and of course there are very few bubbles on the outside also.
Okay.
And the bigger ones generally right now are averaging about fourth to 3/8 of an inch in the cross section. Done.
Apollo Control.
The cells tend to be somewhat polygonal. Let's see, we've been going 6 minutes, 4 minutes into the heat part of it, and the cells are polygonal, but they don't seem to be quite as straight lined as they were on the ground.
Roger, copy.
Stu Russo, Apollo 17, backup command module pilot, is talking to the crew now from the Capcom console. Stu performed a demonstration similar to this on his Apollo 14 flight. That demonstration was not as sophisticated as the 17 test, and the 17 demonstration is expected to provide more exact data on the fluid behavior.
Almost looks like it's reached a steady state now. It's 9 minus 2, 7 minutes.
Roger.
Yeah, I think the one thing I neglected to mention is that we essentially have a convex surface from the caught VEX with the high part in the middle, and of course that's where the bubbles are too. But I think you generally have that type of a surface anyhow. And it hasn't broken the meniscus of the lower or the thinnest ring. Some popcorn at our stowage list.
Roger.
Okay, now the Bernard cells are starting to form in that outer annulus that went all the way around.
Roger.
say I'm back to light four now. And never did get any real polygonal cells formed around the outer annulus. And even the cells that were formed on the thing, it seemed like the particle flow within the cells was very slow when you compare that with the way it was in 1G.
Roger, Ron.
Okay, I'm trying to suck the stuff back in the entry tube there. It looks like part of it's coming in.
Roger, Ron, we copy that.
And the camera's down to about 50% here, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it off now.
Roger, Ron. Ron, if I didn't tell you, we concur with turning the deck off there.
Okay, yeah, I got you.
Sorry, Ron, say that again.
Do we have enough of the Krytox fluid without sucking that back in there? Maybe I can just wipe the Krytox off and some Kleenex, and maybe there won't be any bubbles the next time.
Okay, stand by.
Ron, I guess we understand you've pulled some back in, but you haven't pulled any of the bubbles. And if you pull any more in, you're going to start the bubbles back in. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, why don't you stand by here on that then?
Let me see. I'll see if I can push the bubbles out of the way here. What's up?
Okay, the consensus is that we would like to not pull the bubbles back in. I think you've got a good idea.
Okay.
It's the old keep the bubbles out of the Krytox trick.
Okay, I'll see if I can do it. I see you're finally getting caught up in the humor of the thing there, Stu.
Oh, I've always been in good humor. It sure sounded like that baffle did the trick, Ron.
Yeah, I think it did too. It looks like it worked real well.
Apollo Control at 43 hours, 52 minutes. Krytox, which is a heavy oil, is one of the fluids being used in the demonstration. Apollo 17 is now 146,455 nautical miles from Earth. Velocity 3,505 feet per second. And this shift of orange flight controllers is being directed by Charles Lewis, one of the several gentlemen recently promoted to flight director. The regular orange flight director, Pete Frank, is an observer for this shift.
And 17, just so you say we didn't give you our cue, we're standing by for the 1-17 procedures there on your experiments checklist, the film cycle.
Okay, Stu, we got you on that Saturday afternoon or Friday evening matinee. Was absorbing us, so we almost missed it.
Okay.
the Houston data systems coming on.
Roger.
Fox TV's to science and SMAC power's coming on.
Roger.
Okay, mapping camera standby. Mark it.
Roger, mark it.
Pan camera mode standby. Mark it.
Roger.
I guess that's verified. Camera power to power.
River pole is the gray.
Roger.
Self-test is on the heaters.
Okay, we're standing by for your cue on mapping camera on and the self-test.
Roger, stand by on that. Go for cycling the pan camera and the mapping camera.
Okay. Okay, mapping camera is going on. Pan camera to self test. River pole.
Looks like 10 seconds on the pan camera there.
Pan camera power is coming off.
Roger, Ron.
Now. Thank you.
That's 30 seconds off on the mapping camera run.
Okay, smack power's off. Span off, TV's off, and bit rate low now.
That's affirmative.
Say, Bob, say again those jets you recommended for PTC.
We recommended Bravo and Delta for spin up BD.
Okay, did the rates look okay to you?
That's affirmative.
Go ahead.
Jack, when you get done with the PTC area here, we'd like you to get out the flight plan something. We'd like to get a food report from you all on your food intake for today.
We get it yet in the morning. Happy to do it, but...
That's a firm, Jack. We just like to have it.
Is that what you want? Like you don't think we're eating enough, huh?
Ron, would you check your down 78? Or Ron, when you come around, we'll ask you to stow the high gain on our call, and we'll be wanting Omni Bravo.
Roger. And are you ready for the Trotting Gourmet's report?
Roger, everybody's here with all ears.
Okay, the CDR today had scrambled eggs and fried bacon.
bacon squares and a can of peaches and pineapple drink for breakfast. And then later on in the day, he had peanut butter, jelly, and bread with a chocolate bar and some dried apricots. LMB had scrambled eggs and four bacon squares and orange drink and cocoa for breakfast. And potato soup, two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And a cherry bar and an orange drink.
Since there's nobody else up here. Roger, we copy that. We'd like you to stow the high can at this time and Omni Bravo. We appreciate all your information, and we'd like you to pass on some recommendations here from the ground that we'd like you to keep on with your regular menu as much as possible, and if you do cut anything off, we'd like you to concentrate on eating the meats, the juices, and the fruitcake, which are the most effective for maintaining your electrolyte balance.
Okay. Bob, we understand what you're saying. We're shooting at eating it all. Just a lot of food, that's all.
Right, we understand, Dane. Also on that group of foods, peanut butter is great for the electrolyte balance also, so you're doing okay.
I knew it was good for something. Couldn't be that good without being good for something. I think we're all trying to make a concentrated effort also to keep quite a bit of water down.
Roger, I understand. Real fine.
This is Apollo Control at 44 hours, 18 minutes. Flight Surgeon John Ziegel-Smith is pleased with the food report for today. Apollo 17 is 147,306 nautical miles from Earth, traveling at a speed of 3,481 feet per second.
017.
017, yes.
Okay, got a little information on what we were talking about yesterday with respect to Southern Pacific weather, if you've got nothing else going on.
Go, speak to me.
Okay, looks like that little cyclonic circulation we had over New Zealand is still there. It's looks like the front it was associated with is broken up a little bit. However, that pattern is seems to be hugging the New Zealand area, and but not not intensified. And if not, it may have even weakened a little bit since yesterday. It's hard to be sure exactly. The front does not look as strong, and it still seems to be hanging to stabilize. And with all of Australia clear now and the western edge of that front being just offshore north of Brisbane, the there is a east of New Guinea, in the vicinity of Solomon Islands, it looks like a fairly moderate-sized cyclone developing at the western edge of the of a front that was somewhat farther north and west than the one over New Zealand. North of that, Wake Kwajalein region that was of interest yesterday to the Mariah people. Still seems to be a general overcast condition, but the clouds do not look very heavy or impacted at all. New Guinea is just on the limb, so yeah, I think I lost it.
Okay, I think we've got you now, 17.
You're on first two.
I think we lost you about the time I lost view of the Earth and mentioned the weight quadrillion area, right?
That's affirmative. We didn't get much of the quadrillion report.
There was nothing new to add over yesterday. I just seen some general cloudiness in the area, but they did not look too intense or well-organized. It's probably a general overcast.
Okay.
Try to get some exercise, and then I'll be back at you with some more information. Maybe we can see the Philippines by then.
Okay.
And Stu, I've got my biomed hooked up. Are you guys bringing it in during this exercise? This is Jack.
Yeah, Jack. We'll check on it. Okay, you're coming in loud and clear, Jack.
This is Apollo Control at 44 hours, 35 minutes. Spacecraft distance, 147,866.
Roger, we're in
your lap. Okay, I think that big storm that Jack was referring to that has moved off to the, well, the east of Australia. Very definite counterclockwise rotation, and then that stretches to the south, or what might even be the southeast, and then just rolls right. We had a big frontal pattern, then rolls right into another clockwise rotating low down there near Antarctica. Gives me the impression of a parrot's comb when he's got his feathers ruffled. And then in turn has another low trailing net arcing and then flowing into another low that is very near the continent down there of Antarctica. And they form a chain, as I just described, coming from, possibly southeast of Antarctica. trying to really tell what east is down there on up to due west of Australia by several hundred miles.
Roger.
South of Australia, you get a hit of a very large cloud mass from there all the way down to Antarctica that has a tendency to...
17 Houston.
Go ahead.
Just wanted to get calm there again. We had some switch over there. Might be interested. We've got an ATS map in here from this morning. You're just about on where we can see the flow patterns in the Antarctic, just about 100, 120 degrees west, which is a little closer to South America than what you're calling, I guess. We do see that activity down there.
Okay, Bob, and there's a very large cloudy air mass between Australia and Antarctica. It has the tendency to want to start a rotation, and you can see a hit of that. It's not too strong right now. We're seeing about three-quarters of the Earth, I guess. Judging from our clock and what we can see, it looks like the sun's setting out over the west coast. And it leaves us with about three-quarters of the Earth available to us.
Roger. It's be about 6:15 Los Angeles time right now, so it's probably sunset out there. just a reminder from the flight plan change last night, you'll have a P-52 coming up here at 45 hours in your flight plan.
Roger, very fine, thank you.
Roger, Ron.
This is Apollo Control at 44 hours, 43 minutes. That was a reminder that we are approaching the time where we're going to make the first step in a two-step adjustment caused by the late launch. This will be to bring the Greenwich Mean Time, the ground elapsed time, and the flight plan together. What this first step will account for an hour of two hours and 40 minute adjustment that will be made eventually. The clocks will not be recycled at that this time at 45 hours. The clock recycling will be accomplished later in the mission at 65 hours. Elapsed time. This 1 hour adjustment consists of moving the activities that were scheduled in the flight plan to take place between 46 hours and 30 minutes and 47 hours up to 45 hours in the flight plan. Therefore, during the hour from 45 hours to 46 hours, we will have accomplished all the flight plan activities that were originally scheduled to be accomplished from 46 to 47 hours. And this will put us 1 hour ahead on the flight plan. We would pick up activities originally scheduled at 47 hours at 46 hours under this plan, and this would proceed in orderly fashion 1 hour ahead up to the 65-hour mark, at which time we will synchronize the ground elapsed time clock to 67 hours and 40 minutes, and at that time go to the 67:40 time in the flight plan, and we will be back on schedule.
Jack, just for information, you got your heart rate to 103. Thank you. Jack, you've got your heart rate to about 103, and we lost data right now. Jack, just for information, the last heart rate we had was 103, and we're lost data right now, so 103 is max we saw right now.
Okay, I was just doing some isometrics. Let's try running in place again now.
Roger. Do you want us to call your heart rate if we get data in here now?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, you're up to 115, Jack.